remember the last time that I've given a Musser Schmooze with people having donuts in their hands. It's very difficult to give Musser with donuts. That is, it's completely different. Like a coffee, that's one thing, you know? But like a donut, there's like nothing healthy, nothing... No, it's good. It makes me feel something. That's good. Perek Tet, Pasuk Chaf, in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Noah, says the words, a very short Pasuk, Vayokol Noah Ishu Adama, Vayitak Karen. That Noah, the man of the ground, began, Vayokol, from the word Maschil, that he began, and he planted a vineyard. He was the one who planted a vineyard. And we all know what happened. We all know that he planted the vineyard, he took the grapes, and he made wine. He got drunk off the wine. And after he got drunk off the wine, Chum saw him, saw his nakedness, and either laughed at him, may have done something a little more sinister, according to Rashi, according to the Medrash and the Gemara, right? But Chum saw it, something disgusting. And at the very end of the day, Shem and Yafes were the ones that covered up Noah. And they made sure that instead of making fun of him, they helped him instead. Rashi tells us that the word Vayokol, the word that's used over here, is from the Lashon of Chulin, that he made himself into something mundane. From a world of Kedusha, he turned it into Chulin by planting the vineyard. And the wording of Rashi is what was the idea? It says he shouldn't have planted the grapes first. He should have planted something else first instead of grapes. That's what he should have done. Instead of wheat or barley or another food staple, which a person can't live without, he went to grapes. And he decided that he was going to make grapes first. That shows that he had in mind something that wasn't going to be entirely kadosh. And says Rashi, that was the problem. He made himself chulin for doing such a thing. Rav Chanan Wasserman says he doesn't understand. What's the problem? What's wrong with Noah planting a vineyard? Clearly Noah had a plan as to what he wanted, as to why he planted the grapes over everything else. He knew that this is not a staple. Grapes are not a necessity for one's life. That grain, wheat, and barley would by far be more important. But Noah had just watched his entire world be destroyed in front of his very eyes. He had seen it. And with the window especially, he was able to see the world become destroyed. His parents, his siblings, although Lamech had passed away earlier, before the Mabul had happened, but his grandfather, Methuselah, had just passed away 7 days before the Mabul happened. His siblings, his friends, anybody else who's around. Now, I know we can think of Noah as a hermit, and it's very possible he was a hermit his entire life. But he just watched everything he knew become destroyed in front of his very eyes. His previous life was gone. Everything was gone completely. It makes sense. He was the Abba over everyone else that was there. He was an Avelus over the world. And he probably felt, and it makes sense that he would feel an extreme sadness to be in a world where everything was gone. So what did he plant this for? He wanted to help himself remember the previous world. The purpose of the grapes was not necessarily for food, so to speak. It was to console himself. The vineyard was supposed to be a type of idea of drinking wine and getting himself a little bit drunk to drown out his sorrows, to forget what had gone wrong. And in fact, this is the Pasuk of Mishlei. Mishlei Lamanav says, Tenu Sheikhar La'Oved, give beer to a person who is lost, the Yayin Lamare Nefesh, and wine to those who are embittered of the soul. It makes sense to do that, because that's what we do in order to forget. You're allowed to give wine, even though it's a machlokes in the Gemara Moed Katan and Avos to drink wine. But nonetheless, we have 10 cups of wine that a person, that an Avos is supposed to drink at the Sudas Havro. We don't do it anymore, but there's a concept of the 10 cups. So what's wrong with what he did? He was mourning over the world. What is it called chulin for? Why do we call this something that's so mundane? Like he was missing something. What was he missing exactly? So lesson, says Rav Chanan, was the following. That Noah must have remembered the world that he had just seen destroyed. That world was filled with tumah and filled with terrible things. It's gone now. It's never going to come back again. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that would come back again, and nor should it. And even Noah would admit, of course, we don't want this world back. The world is filled with destruction, filled with hashchata, with gezel, chamas, andromusia, says Rashi. It was a terrible place to be. Noah's entire attention, what he should have been paying attention to right now, what he should have done, is just sat there and said, what do I need to build up the new world. Not how do I remember the old world, but what do I do to build up the new world to assure that it's going to be different, that it's not going to be done in the same way that that world was before. I see the korban of the previous years, of the previous generations. What do I need to do to build up? He can't look back at them. He can't have any hindsight looking back and saying, what could I have done better? What could those people have done better? That's not what we're about right now. We're talking about just being you right now. Build up a brand new world. Don't worry about anything else. And in that sense, a garden would represent the future. A vineyard represents the past. And in that sense, he should have planted a garden for the future instead of a vineyard for the past. That's the concept of what was so wrong with what he'd been doing. Think about the new world and forget about the old world completely. Noah was on the level that he should have understood that. He should have gone through that. That should have been an obvious sign to somebody like him, somebody on that level. The problem is, we say every Shabbos, and Pesukei Zimra, say in our Tefillah Moshe, right after Tefillah Moshe, I'm sorry, L'David B'Shanoso, we say, Sur Meirav Aseitov, Bakei Sholom Roveyu. Sur Meirav, turn away from evil, and then Aseitov. It seems that we take away the negative before we start working on the positive. And in that sense, it seems that's what Noah was doing. Noah was getting rid of the evil, drowning out his sorrows, so to speak, building the vineyard to forget about what had happened in the past. And then, only then, could be Aseh Tov, build up everything that happens in the future. And really, this seems to be somewhat of a, it makes sense. You get yourself forgiven for the sins that you've done in the past, and only then do you start working on the mitzvot that go into the future, your Ma'asim Tovim that are there. So I don't understand. What's better? Is it better to get rid of the past and work on the future? Or is it better to forget about the past completely and only work on the future? Which one is it exactly? But I think there's no steer. That Sur Meirav Aseh Tov, in the wording that's being used of turning away from evil and only then doing good, applies to a person who is a little bit beyond the level of a regular person. A tzaddik. The whole line is Mia Isha Chafetz Chaim. Oiv Yamin Lerostov, Nitzur Lashon Chamero, Sasecha Midaber Mirma. We're talking about a person who is a tzaddik, and in his greatness, to get to the next level that he wants to get to, he's got to be forgiven for his sins, and then build his way up to the next level of tzidkus, the next level of righteousness. But he already is a tzaddik. That's a person who's already there, has everything done. On the other hand, there's a concept by certain Rishayim and certain people that are out there in the world called Takanas HaShavim. Takanas HaShavim is, if you steal a bean and you build it into your house, you don't have to knock down your entire house in order to return that bean to its owner. You can leave the bean in there, do tshuva, right, and pay back the money when you can. Takanas HaShavim is to the extreme. A guy came up to me and said to me that he had stolen $25,000 from another person. $25,000. He had used it on terrible things. He had lived off it for the last year and a half, or whatever it is. And now he wanted to do tshuva. The problem? He had no job. He had no way of making a job that was going to make that kind of money back. How is he going to be able to return? What's he going to do? So I called Rabbi First and asked him, what does he do? And he said, Takanas HaShavim. He's not required to return the money in order to do tshuva. Takanas HaShavim applies in such a way that is the money owed? The money is owed. But he pretends as if the money is not owed in order for him to go do tshuva. He does tshuva first, and then he works on that later. That's something that comes at a later on time. See, sometimes, by certain people, it's first Aseh Tov and then Sur Meirav. I don't know what would happen. If I would have told this guy, we can't accept your tshuva until you return the money. Work on returning the money, and then afterward we'll work on you doing tshuva. I don't know if this guy ever would have done tshuva. And that's really the point of Takanas HaShavim. How do you know that the guy is going to come back? Sometimes, there are times where first it's Aseh Tov and then Sur Meirav, and this is an example when it comes to this. This idea is there, in which sometimes Sur Meirav Aseh Tov, sometimes Aseh Tov and then Sur Meirav. tzaddikim, mia isha chavetz chayim, itzur miravat beitov. You're already doing well. You're already on such a level. Build yourself up. You want to get to the next level. First, you got to do tshuva. First, you have to work on the path. Then you can build yourself to the next level. Then you can bring yourself to level B, the next thing up. That's what you can do. But my people are not there yet. They don't have it. You're trying to work on their shmiras and mitzvahs all together. Get yourself in. Bring them in first. And then get rid of everything else that's there. I'm telling you, when it comes to this, my understanding is that's the reason why you tell people to at least work, to start keeping something, to do something when it comes to their mitzvahs. Even if they're not doing other things properly, you still get them to do at least one mitzvah. One mitzvah you can work on. Because if you're going to fix everything, and only then you're going to get that person to keep Shabbos or to keep kosher, etc., he may never get to that. He may never be able to fix some of the things that he's been doing wrong. And that's that. And that's what we have to look at ourselves. To change the past and fix what we've done wrong sometimes seems absolutely impossible. In the state that we're in right now, how's that going to happen? Number one, we don't necessarily feel bad about what we've done. We don't feel that charata or what I did was something that was wrong. I don't even know if the person knows that he said something wrong or that he did something wrong. He might not even think of it as a chait. Because he thinks of certain things as chatoyim, but not this. Who says this is a chait? Who says he might not even know? Sometimes you need to build up your kedusha. Work your way in a little bit. And then once you learn a little bit more, daven a little bit more, bring yourself a little bit closer, then you realize what you've done wrong and you start working on the past. That's the way that a person can do it. It goes like this. If you've had a situation where you've done something that is questionable, your Elul Zman was not the Zman that you wanted it to be, where you feel like, I didn't do this then, so how could I start now? It's a legitimate concern. That's something that legitimately you can say to yourself, I don't know how I can become a better person. It's there. But that doesn't mean you can't change on this spot. That doesn't mean that your tshuva wouldn't be accepted now. That doesn't mean that everything that's up into the past cannot just be thrown away by saying, now I'm starting fresh. Now I'm starting something new. You could take a vineyard and do what Noah did, plant something, and work on the past. But that's never going to help you as much as it can as if you're just concentrating on the future. Noah's world is gone. The world that he had seen before, there really is no shaykes to what you need to know to be building up this new world. It's gone. Don't worry about that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to know. The vineyard doesn't matter. It's all about making this world the best world that it could be. Building up this world into the world that you can. And that's what this man is. Elul Zman may not have been the best. Elul Zman may have had its failings. And you might have looked at yourself and said, I messed up on this, I messed up on that. I can't believe all these things that I have to work on. And what am I going to do now? Now, there was no Elul Zman. Now, there's just, it's Cheshvan. It's Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan tonight. Today is still Lamed Tishrei. It's Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan tonight. Tonight, I'm going to make sure that I go to Ma'ariv on time. Tonight, I'm going to make sure that I learn a little bit extra, more than I did beforehand. More than I did beforehand, to make sure that I did everything properly. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up on time. I'm going to make sure that I'm at chakras. I'm going to make sure that I'm davening correctly. That I'm davening in the best possible way. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to go to Seder. And you keep working that way. And if a day is off, if there's a day that you have that goes a little bit off, a person always needs to do tshuva for everything there. But build yourself up from the next point. If you mess up once, then go to the next point. The yish that's involved that a person has when a person sits there and says, like, but look at me now. I'm just not worthy. I don't have anything going for me right now. That's what's killing you. Don't worry about that. Worry about what's going to be tomorrow. What am I going to do tonight? What am I going to do better that can make myself a better person? Instead of mourning the past, work on building up your future. That's the ikkar. It's all about that. And everything else that comes into play is your Yetzer Hara. But you're going to do this? There's no way you're going to do this. Look at what you were. Doesn't matter what you were. This is what I am now. That's what I'm going to do this month. That's how I'm going to work on myself from now on. I'm going to make myself a different person in that sense. That, I think, is the pure lesson to be learned from Noah planting the kerem and being blamed for calling chulin. Think of the word chulin, making himself mundane as if there's nothing kedusha in the world, bringing himself down in the world as if there's nothing there for him. He had to make himself kadosh, build himself up, not throw himself down to the ground. That's the lesson that we can learn for this upcoming Zman, to change ourselves completely. Have a great Zman, everybody.